this lady gets to take all her friends. She gets to go out, have a hell of a good time. She's lucky. Her goal is to break even. Your goal is higher. Your goal is to be a professional and earn X, right? Have I stated everyone else's goal pretty good? Pretty well? I mean, that encapsulates your goal? Well, then you have to act in manner that is reasonable towards achieving that goal. And going out to the races with your buds is not the way to do it. Going out to the races and having a beer is not the way to do it. Going out to the races and acting in any way that is not a way that you would act on a job is not going to achieve that goal. Now, again, if you want to restate your goal right now and say, hey, my goal is to go out there, break even, and have a good time, then, as this lady here wants to do, that's fine. You will achieve your goal. You can do that. But if you've set a goal that involves professionalism, unfortunately, for most of us, professionalism does not involve going to the races with their friends. Now, in my case, I used to go to the races with Tom. And I learned that I had to stop doing that. Now, luckily enough, being Tom, it was easy to stop. But for some of you, you're going to have friends that you like, and they're going to say, hey, let's go out and take down that pick six. Let's go out and hit some exactas. Let's go out and have some fun, have a couple of beers, sit up in the grandstands and make rude noises at the lady jockeys. Okay. If that's your goal, if every couple of weeks you want to take a fun day out and do that, fine. But just know that you've taken a sick day at work, a vacation day. And know that, like on any other job, you've only got so many of those days. And if you exceed those days, the boss is going to come down and, you know, give you the bossly look and talk to you in his office. Well, in this case, your boss is the pari-mutuel machine. And that's a very tough boss. The pari-mutuel machine does not cut you any slack. So if you take off enough days with your buddies, then you're not going to be achieving that goal. Any more than if your goal is to become the president of IBM, but you want 8 weeks of vacation every year, you're probably not going to make it. I'm sorry, workaholics rise to the top in most corporate structures. Why I am no longer in a corporate structure. Same thing at racing, though. You have to make a few sacrifices. You have to say, I can't go out there, drink a beer or two, talk to my friends who know nothing about racing and whose goal is something else, and expect to achieve my goal. If you try, you're doomed to failure. And that's not something that most people want to hear. They want to hear that they can go out, they can bet exactas, they can have some fun, they can go with their friends, and they can make a living. Matter of fact, they can even show off to their friends. They can call this race in advance. They can have a hell of a time out there. And that is an absolute prescription for failure. If you do it, you're going to have to change that goal because you're not going to achieve that professional earning X. So by the time we get together on Sunday, that gives you tonight and all day tomorrow night, Sunday morning, I'd kind of like it if you would sort of think about setting a goal. And please don't make it an unrealistic goal. My goal is to own the state of Kentucky. My goal is to make 9 figures a year, and you have not ever doubled a $100 bankroll yet. If you are not winning today, your goal is to win on paper. If you're, don't set goals in the sky. But on the other hand, know that behind every goal should be another and another and another. And eventually, for most of you, the final goal will be
I want to be a professional handicapper earning X.
If that's not your goal, that's okay. Write it down. It doesn't have to be your goal, and please don't feel there's a lot of peer pressure. The thing is, I'm not going to collect this. I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to walk over here and say, what's your goal? And pick it up and read it. Aha! Look at his goal! Why he wants to wear dresses. Oh, no. We're not going to humiliate anybody. But I really, really would like you to write it down and then just put it in your pocket. No one will look. But the very act of writing it down makes it much more real. And goal setting, most of us never take much time to do that, but goal setting is direction setting. And if you don't have a direction, well, you're going to get where you want to be just by standing still, but you're not going to make a lot of progress. So just take some time, think about it. Don't try to do it tonight. Here's a guy writing down his goals. He was one of the engineers, wasn't he? The engineers, they all know their damn goals. I want to build a bridge that goes from here to Seattle. Engineers are weird folks. That's okay. We'll cut the engineer a little slack. He probably already thought of it. But for the rest of you, and please remember, if you set an unattainable goal, you're setting yourself up for failure. So please don't put down, X should be a realistic amount. If you're a plumber, plumber's assistant, a shopkeeper, you're making a fast $35,000 a year, please don't set your goal to, I'd like about $6 million a year. Yeah, so would I, but I'm not going to get it. Make it a realistic goal. Make it a goal that you would feel comfortable with. And know that this goal is going to be used in another way. It's going to be used to determine a lot about how you carry on at the track. All right? We meet back here. Boy, I always hit my mark. 10 o'clock on the nose. We meet back here at 9:30 in the morning. And if you have any specific questions, I'll be glad to answer them now. Or we can do it afterwards. Yes, ma'am.
Do we need computers tomorrow?
You will never need a computer in here at all, as far as I know. It couldn't wait to bring it, but the answer is no. Because if I say yes, 80 people in here panic because they didn't bring their computer. Because their computer isn't portable. But no, we never work races much. I mean, we're not going to say, okay, here's a race, work it. That's something we do in workshops occasionally, but no, you won't need a computer. We're going to talk a little more generic. Yeah, but I like to sleep late, and Howard has left, so it's 9:30. Chances are Howard will be here at 9, so yeah. Come whenever. Did somebody lose the glasses? Okay, so those parents are
pretty.
Yeah, those look like
boxes.
Thank you.
I like men. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's good Midwest response there. In California, you got to hold up a cue card to get them to say good morning. They're very motion picture television oriented.
Thank you very much.
We're going to spend maybe 45 minutes together here, and then we're going to break up. The East Room will be your velocity people and the energy people for a chance to get to stay here. When we first started energy in 1978, we tried a dual format like this, and we had 8 people in the energy, and 92, this is in Saratoga, 92 in the velocity. But the evolution and your willingness to advance with the times has now turned that figure almost in direct reverse. We have 8 people here, 66 are, we have 90 people there, 66 are energy and 22 are velocity. But you will get the best, you will get the the best, according to what I read in all the books, the best of the Sartan teachers will be teaching the philosophy, Tom Ruhammer, so you will not be shortchanged in any way. Is that right, Tom? Nothing wrong with velocity. It works, gets you just as many winners, maybe even more winners. It just doesn't get you the higher prices. Not because there's anything wrong with velocity, but if you've been reading the racing form and the ads that have come to you in the mail order, you'll find that our velocity secrets are, for the most part, no longer secrets. Generic, but with under Tom's direction and his subtle ways of using it, you can still beat the crowd with velocity because you got the best teacher in that field there is.
That's good. Are you going to pay me too?
No.
Well, this is in lieu of pay.
This is in lieu of pay, and you get royalties from your book.
You don't have
to. You're too rich to pay. And we don't want to start a precedent after 5 years. I want to add something to what Dick said last night. Every time anybody, our people speak, for the most part, Tom especially, about guidelines for contender selection, etc., etc., they're talking about picking winners. Every time I open my mouth to Dick Schmidt or Tom or anybody about picking place horses or show horses, they say, well, that's a new can of worms or something. So there are different guidelines for picking the place horse. It's very important that you know them. As Dick was talking last night, he said, how many of you blow back all your profits from your win in your exactions? And many, many hands slowly started rising. Okay, the idea is you should not play exactas until you know how to pick the place horse. Now, we feel that the graph for picking the place horse on your cage end is going to help you a lot. But remember the guidelines for win. If you hear win, 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 all these things, how to pick the contenders to get the winner, are not necessarily and sometimes directly opposed to the method you would use to get the place source. You cannot win an exacta without the winner. By contrary wise, you cannot win an exacta or a quinella without the place source. The place source is a unique individual, and because we are so win-oriented, many of us put in the two best horses to win or the three best horses to win and put exacta, and find that we're getting them first and third consistently. How many of you, if they paid off on first and third, would be a millionaire? Right, okay. As if you have read our manuals, we have repeatedly said that the pattern, the running pattern, the style, and the energy yield of a show horse is much, much more like the win horse than the place horses. So we're going to just have to take a minute for you. You all have the 55% solution, the book, and have never used it or never made it work for you. That's because you're thinking win. You've got to think place. Now, I was discussing with our friend who's a cartoon editor for the political editor for the Tulsa Tribune. And I said yesterday that it's more important to find the place source, and on the cage end, the place source usually came out higher than the win horse. This program, if you use it properly, will get you the exactas far more than you'll ever expect. We did 70% quinellas the other day, and my usual average is 56% for quinellas or exactas. So with this program, we excel in that field far more than we would had we not had this program. And you'll find it too. But remember, the place source has distinct characteristics. He's usually Well, let's take some statistics. 26 to 28% of the time, the horse most likely to win will also place. I mean, he won't win, but he will place, and he'll have the same characteristics as the win horse. Okay, if you take your maximum of 28%, you have 72% of the time, the place horse is the contra-energy horse. If it's running early, the place horse will be your best sustain, or your best sustained presser in that area, other than early. If it's running sustained, it'll be the horse that gets the lead who will hang on for place. ATV is very important in finding the place horse. Horses with extraordinarily high ABV relative to today's purse are sometimes virtual locks to place if you pick the right one. There may be several, and some don't count. ABV on its own does not allow you to go to bat for a pace line. But the ABV of a solid contender who's in form and is dropping back to a lower class from a high APV will place much more often than it will not. The counter energy is your key there. Find the counter energy horse, determine that it's the best counter energy horse. It doesn't mean the most counter. Now, supposing one horse is 70% median energy is going to win. You would say, oh, there's one with 66 in there. That's your counter-energy horse. No. It has to be the counter-energy horse who shows that it will be in the race. Similar to Tom's guidelines for winter. A horse that is up close or who makes giant moves traditionally or gets out into big leads and falters at the end. So if you take the counter-energy horse who has something, as opposed to just plain old counter-energy, it usually will be not as counter as 66 to 70. It'll be somewhere around 67-something or 68. But the counter-energy is your key to your exactives. Take the horse that is not most likely to win. Just remember, the horse second most likely to win only places from 26 to 28% of the time. To get that firmly established in your minds, you'll be able to win these exactives. Dick is perfectly right when he says, don't go playing exactives if you don't know how to get the place for it. But he would be incorrect in saying, don't ever play exactives, because he doesn't. If you will concentrate as much on getting the place for it as you do getting the winner, you will get the place for it. How many of you do well in exactives? Right, Mary and Joe. The ones who are doing well are not very plentiful, but those who have mastered the art would never dream of letting a $2 exacta or a $2 quinella race especially go by. Because it's just, your bankroll just mounts astronomically when you play exactas and quinellas, if you know how to do it. Now, how many of you play exactas and quinellas and do it real well, but since you've got them covered, you don't back up your winners? That's another tragedy. Supposing the other day when we had a $26 horse and a $70 quinella, we only played the quinella and we gave up the $26 to, we would be not capitalizing on our program. We would be merely playing in volume. Now, if you're in Vegas and you can play 17 quinellas a day, that's excusable that you miss a few winners. But when you're in a track and you have only 7 to 9 races that are playable, you better capitalize on everything. I grind this in and grind this in, and most of our teaching members, with the exception of Marion Jones and Jim Bradshaw, and I suppose Robert, I don't know what he's doing in Chicago, but I'm not as acquainted with his style of play. But most of us will back up our winners, and the Quinella exacta comes as a secondary means of my home and income. Very always does that. Yes, he always lets a new place.
That's my first goal.
Yeah, Bob always says he determines who's going to win first, and then he plays around with the secondary benefits of the exacta Quinella. And the way they're making them so cheap now, inexpensive, you really should learn how to play first. And you really should be able to determine a horse. You've got a race where the winner's going to pay $420, the place horse might pay $360, but the show place is going to pay $9. You can find those on those terrible days when you say, no use going to the track today, all the favorites are going to come in. If you can't make money on the win end, there's money to be made on the place end, on the show end. There's money to be made in three positions plus fourth being the Quinella or exacta or both. There's no sense if you have to play a single track, or if you're a suitcase handicapper, has to go 100, 200 miles to get to a track, as Jimmy does. Hey, while you're there, capitalize on every position. The winners aren't paying anything. Frequently the show horses are. Remember, the show horse usually has the win horse's characteristics, but doesn't have quite enough total energy to pull off the win, but tries to run at the style the winners are winning with. Any questions on this? The thing to do is to take the... Most of you bought the 55% solution, but now I got it, what the hell do I do with it, you know? That's what you do with it. You read it, and there's some calling cards. Look like playing cards in there. Xerox them and cut them out and paste them on some cardboard or something firm. And just like you're shuffling out a deck of cards, say, well, this horse has that character. Make a whole bunch of copies. And he's got this character. Whenever you find a horse with three or more characteristics of the place horse, he becomes a good bet. Just one characteristic alone may not hack it. But play like you're playing solitaire. Put three cards on this factor, one on this, one on this. And you'll be surprised how that will get you the play source more often than you, if you really take it seriously. But we are a win-oriented nation. We're Avis people. No, we're, what's the other? Hertz people. We should be more Avis people. But if you can get the play source, you've got it made. Winners are easy to get, really. Winners are not difficult to get. And that's why everybody focuses on winners. Place horses are difficult. But if you focus on them, winners will come naturally. I like to pay a tribute here this morning. You've seen the cage in an action a few times. And you've seen how meticulously it picks out things that we not ordinarily see. And we owe this in a great deal to a man who's an engineer right here from the state of Missouri. See, you didn't have to know that Missouri created such great people. There's a formula in engineering and in atomic engineering. It's all mixed up with atomic engineering and bridge stress. Height of tall buildings in a windstorm and the bridges and earthquakes and things like that. These engineering formulas are very, very meticulous. And as they carry over into atomic formulas, they become even more precise. So we had this man came to us one day and he was almost ashamed. He was kind of, they'll laugh at me, with this amazing formula for dissecting a race into as many as 15 or 20 parts, however we wanted, how many atoms did we want to crack. And from this, Jimmy transposed it into handicapping ease using the brilliance of this formula. The man's a very modest man, but I think we owe him a debt. I know I do. I've made thousands of dollars on his creativity. Charlie Cockrell.
Very
saying, if you haven't used the program, when you use it, you know, I want you to think, bless old Charlie, that he did not hold back that formula. He thought we'd laugh at him. Boy, we grabbed him so fast. Jimmy and I have been looking for that formula for, well, how many years, Jim?
3 years.
3 years.
Longer, really, but...
But his genius combined with Jim's hidden genius, the computer compiled that program into a real winner, and you'll bless them every time you use it henceforth. So she got it. So we've taken care of the play source, and we've taken care of that. Now I'll turn the microphone over to Elton Smith.
I'm not good. If you, everybody here that's going, got the wooden package, do you have a racing form? Okay, why don't you come up and get them now? And then put them up. I want, you know, put your racing forms up and don't look at them. You're going to have to break it 4 o'clock, I think. And then if you want to work on racing forms, you can. Okay? Now we're going to, tomorrow, for the people going to Woodlands, when the buses will be here at 11:15. The buses are going to leave at 11:30. You ain't on the bus, that's your problem. So this is one time you can't be late. And in your flyer that you got for this, it says, be a pro, dress like a pro. So everybody wear a jacket. You go out tomorrow, there'll probably be some people there without jackets, but that doesn't people jump on the bridge too, but they don't know where you're going there.
I can't wear my t-shirt, you better see it.
Wear your watch?
See your jacket.
Okay. Everybody's got the forms. Please put them up. I don't want to see a form open on the table for this meeting. If you don't want, if you're not going to stay there paying attention, go into the other room. That's the okay.
You thought I was tough. Now, in five words or less, tell them everything you know about handicapping.
Zero.
Come on. Tell them how you make these people winners.
Well, we have some little group meetings, and the people, you know, basically, if you pay attention and do the same thing over and over, most people have a habit that once they get to winning, they want to go too often, and they'll find themselves, well, I'll take a shortcut. I won't do this. Or I won't do that. First thing you know, you're back to losing again. And the one thing you have to do is consistently.
Go ahead.
One thing you have to do consistently is do the same thing over and over again. And you never know what you're doing. How you're really doing if you're not doing the same thing every time. And another thing is that you see, you look at the track and you see these people as they go out the door, they go to the program and they're racing far away. Take that sucker home and figure out why you won and why you lost. A lot of people will see, try to see why they lost, but they never try to figure out why they won. And it's really important to do that. I'm not very good speaker, so Howard always says, take a minute. So I have a minute, and I'm going to get back to it.
Thank you. That's more than well, no worries, you're as rude as is. But that's sound advice, what he just
gave you in a very succinct way. Most of us, when we start winning, initially, we get cocky. And, boy, everything's great, Doc. Next thing I hear, the guy's in the gutter, and drinking booze. He's throwing up his hand. Well, I won, you know, first round, it's 17 out of 20 the first time. Boy, and then this thing stopped working. Who stopped working? The user stopped working. I don't need to do that. I didn't need to do that. I can eyeball show. What everybody loves to do is pretend like the Jim Bradshaw. Every macho guy I know, especially people who had a lifetime in the military, they got to be like Bradshaw. They want to be able to, there's your winner. But they can't do it. They think they can, and they start bragging to everybody. You don't need a computer. You don't need to do all this work. You just look at them. You get them. Well, that's not the way Jimmy gets them. Jimmy did thousands and thousands and thousands of races. They have long nights and lots of snow in Tulsa. They did them all exactly as prescribed. And what happens is that when you do something as prescribed over a period of time, your subconscious, if you've got one, absorbs everything. Now, some people never absorb. They've got to go back and do it by the rules every time. They don't absorb the knowledge. Their unconscious mind does not perceive better than a computer, but Jimmy's does. And Jimmy always says, don't do as you see me doing at the track, do as I tell you, because you can't duplicate Jim Bradshaw. He's got a mystique and a mystical quality about him. He and I, that's why we're such good friends. We both will horses. When somebody said you can't will a horse to win, we know better. But don't try to duplicate. And for God's sake, don't want to be a Tom Brohammer if you're not as astute a handicapper as he is. He sees things that he can shortcut this method. But he also went to the experience of doing it precisely as it was dictated. After you get insight, after you get this vast store of knowledge in your subconscious, sure, then you can take the shortcuts. But if you take them prematurely, you're hurting yourself. I love to watch the horses go up and down the screen in the cage. And I think the cage will provide you enough pleasure that you will